episode number 11.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
Welcome to another show, and as promised, I'm trying to play a little catch-up since I had to take some time off the airwaves to do a ton of background work for Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets. In this episode, I have an announcement about my team's upcoming tryouts, and the hot topic has to do with my team's dress code. Next, I hope to share another example of an artful approach to coaching. Then, having gotten pretty deeply into my rules for winners over the past few episodes, this show will cover four more rules, all of these having to do with an individual's decision-making as he or she goes on the attack. So, without further delay, let's get on with the show. The Zamboni won't run long here, because I just want to tell any interested families that I'll be starting to interview players for next year's NEHI teams on Monday, February 11th, 2008. And by interviewing, I just mean that I'll invite kids in to skate with me and my current team, which also gives them and their families a chance to see if they like the way we do things. So, drop me an email or give me a call. Write me at coachchick@aol.com or call 781-447-4616. Yes, you heard me right in the introduction. This week's hot topic has to do with my young junior high school team's dress code. Because it's not the big deal you might think. Actually, I don't have a dress code for my kids. My guys come from all over, and they and their families are probably rushing from school, from home, and to the rink, and I just don't see the need to make life any more complicated for them. There is an exception, though. Depending on the dedication of a particular group, I'll arrange for anywhere from one to a half dozen outside exhibition games, many of these against private school teams. And on those occasions, I will require the players to wear neckties. You see, I like to very gradually ease my junior high school kids towards the high school game. And even that simple dressing up, just a tad, does get them used to something they'll be doing for the years after they leave me. Oh, by the way, I could tell my kids were psyched about their first experience at dressing up this week. Actually, they were cute to watch. By now, most longtime listeners should appreciate the difference between the scientific approach to training and the artistic side. Some folks can mix the two, you know. As a matter of fact, would you believe that I sometimes teach or emphasize something wrong with a player? But let me explain that. As an example, once in a while I'll get a new player who is just trying to learn the slap shot. And, as so often happens, the kid who is nervous about taking that shot will kind of hold back. Maybe it's because of a fear of losing control, and quite often it's because he or she is nervous about losing his or her balance. So, with that, I'll usually encourage the player to take as wide a backswing as possible. I mean, I'll encourage him or her to really bring the stick far, far back, and then really wail into the puck. Here's my thinking. A kid at this stage of the skill isn't ready to worry about puck placement, weight distribution, or any of the other finer points of the movement. Nah, first I have to get him or her just swinging away. Then, maybe 100 or so shots later, we can start concentrating on the real mechanics. So, if you get my drift here, my artful side has me teaching the skill wrong at first. Only down the road can we get more into the scientific way of doing things. What really caused me to get back to this area of discussion, however, has a lot to do with the way I'd previously explained a few of my rules for winners. I mean, did you notice that I quite often said that I try to reason such and such with my kids? Yeah, that's an approach I take pretty often with my students or team members. I tend to think that information sticks better when players are involved in the troubleshooting of a given problem. So, if you can remember from the last two episodes, I said I reason with my kids when it comes to a choice between approaching an opponent quickly or slowly. And I also ask them which players are the most important in line changes, those coming off or those going on. Then, just to further explain that scientific versus artful thing, we have no leeway when it comes to science. Either a method is or it isn't correct. On the other hand, coaches and parents are often on their own when it comes to finding an artful way to get a given job done. Getting back to the old coach's rules for winners, let's explore the choices a puck carrier has as he or she advances up the ice. Rule number 5 states that head manning is the fastest way to move a puck. And oh, don't you know I hate the cliches that creep into our game? Anyway, what that means is that a team can advance the puck faster by passing than by having an individual skate it. Of course, that's an easy concept to demonstrate if you ever have a player question it. Just have him or her try to puck handle over any distance as two teammates pass a puck over the same distance. Case closed, I suspect. Having first looked for option 1 in his or her race up the ice, if that's not open, a puck handler then moves to rule number 6. In this one, a player should continue carrying the puck while going through the following thought process. The player can keep puck handling so long as he or she isn't outnumbered by opponents. In other words, it makes sense to keep going with no resistance. And I don't mind if one of my guys tries his puck moves on a lone defender. However, trying to stick handle through two or more bad guys is just asking for a turnover. Rule number 7 advises my players to dump the puck if they find themselves outmanned. And I also ask my guys to dump the puck if we're in the lead. I don't know if I have to explain this rule much. However, having exhausted the earlier two options, to either pass the puck up ice or to carry it until there's too much resistance, it makes sense to just gain a good 80 or so feet by tossing the puck deep into our enemy's zone. And when it comes to protecting the lead, it also should make sense that our opponents lose countless valuable seconds off the game clock every time we're able to put the puck far down into their end. Now, to this point, I'm sure most experienced hockey folks will agree with my progressions from rule number 5 to rule number 7. However, I do give some of my better puck handlers yet another option. For rule number 8 allows a player to protect the puck while waiting for help. By this, I mean that a player can try to move far from resistance or somewhere where he isn't putting the puck in jeopardy. Usually, only a few seconds are needed before teammates can move in to support our lone puck handler. And in this way, we never had to give up the puck with a dump in. Now, if you want to know a real biggie with me, it's rule number 9. Because that one says that effective dump-ins give us time. Actually, this is another area where I tend to reason with my guys. And I begin by asking them what is needed in order for us to get a complete line change on the fly. Time, of course. Then, I'll ask them what's needed for us to effectively set up a forecheck following a dump-in. And again, the obvious answer is that we need time in order to get everyone in place. That part of the problem solved, I continue to reason with my kids when it comes to making a dump-in that gives us that time. For sure, we don't want the opposition goaltender to get the puck quickly, nor do we want any enemy skater to retrieve it before we can move into place. So, in most instances, we're talking about placing the puck toward a corner, either hard enough around the boards so the goaler can't get it, or softly to a corner so the puck just dies there. And oh, it wouldn't be a bad idea for the puck handler to dump early enough and towards an area that gives our first guy into the zone a big advantage. Well, that's all the time I have for tonight. Man, it's getting late. And just so you know, I've been working on those free videos in my spare time, the ones I promised in the last episode. And I should have them ready for you within a few days. In the meantime, I hope you'll spread the word about Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets at myhockeysecrets.blogspot.com. Also, give me a call at the Hockey Secrets Hotline at 781-447-0106. I'll try to keep doing my part if you can just help me a little bit.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.